Blog Talk Radio.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. Let that motherfucker burn. Greetings. Hello, slaves. My brothers and sisters in the concentration camp, I'm back with much on my mind, much that needs to be shared because nobody cares. But you share it anyway because there ain't nothing good here. We're fucked, but we still fight. And that's what I want to talk about today. We want answers, right? We want to solve problems without, we want to pretend, right? We think there is a problem to solve, life in civilization, instead of civilization itself is the problem. But it's deeper than that, right? Because civilization is just an expression, shall we say, a manifestation, we could say. It's not the metaphysical questions. Does society exist? We could get into that too, and we should. But at the level that where we are, wherever that is, chronological time, these structures that impose and dominate our lives, I don't think it's hard to see. It's hard to believe, but it's not hard to see, because we want to believe what we're taught. We want to believe belief, right? Belief itself, again, is what keeps us marooned here. So what I see, again, they say, some actor said, I think there's an epidemic of meaninglessness. I heard this said repeatedly over the years of people, again, historically, philosophically, nihilism is the greatest threat to the discursive mind, the greatest threat to civilization, the greatest threat to philosophy itself, to society, because meaning is defined by its use. So everything in that philosophical sense of pragmatism, some might say, is about its usage. So we are the definition of that, right? We are the expression of that as society saying, well, what use are you? And we see is, we feel the horror of everyday life. And we, some of us succumb to it. Some of us find ways to traverse it, flourish in it. If we can see that civilization is a concentration camp, that everybody's been assimilated, right? We're the Borg, use that metaphor. The Borg has taken over. We're all assimilated into the collective. The collective, you know, we're brought into this concentration camp and we all are given roles, uses to play. And if you don't play, you're put away, right? Or, as we saw, the development, we'll call it that, the progress of civilization was to exterminate all the brutes. Those who do not comply are given the status of brutehood. They are barbarians. They are subhuman. They are not human at all. They are lower than animals. And they are to be exterminated. As one sociologist said, and I've spoken of this before, is that society is a garden. And you can identify all the different creatures in the garden, the plants. The plants, which we derive joy from, they are useful, they bear fruit, and then there's the weeds that we identify because, and we use words like they're invasive, they're corrupt, they're toxic, they are to be exterminated. Rats are another, you know. So we have these species of life that are to be exterminated. And whoever is in charge, for lack of a better word, the masters of mankind, as Noam Chomsky called them, those who are steering the ship, the zoo, who decide what our habitat will be, say this is what is the parameters for what one author called species typical normal function, right? And then if they're not, they were deemed retarded, which I think is derived from the French word, and it means delayed growth. So the retarded growth of something is, again, a sign of malfunctioning, right? So the malfunction, you get rid of it, right? You get rid of it. You identify the invasive species, and then you get rid of them. Now, I mean, you see throughout history the narratives put forth, you know, the bad guys, the good guys, all that, and we know it's just a whole bunch of lies, right? And we have all the easy-to-think things, but what we see are the recipes for that assimilation, for that destruction. And it's not competing cultures, it's culture itself, it's the psychology itself, it's the disconnection. Something has infected us with, some say, consciousness. Down the rabbit hole we go. But what I wanted to offer is, and I truly understand the pain of everyday life, the pain of identity, the pain of loss, and that pain is contextualized, right? There's something deeper to it. The pain is there, as is joy. We'll call it. Those are just words, right? But they're these things you experience in hell, that even when joy seems like the impossibility of joy, the saturation, right? When you feel saturated with despair, we call that what? Depression.
Right.
So profoundly. And that's what, when you look beneath the surface, you see what chronological time being captured in a concentration camp, the constant use and abuse of daily life does. Because that's what we say. We say, well, why? Why would people be bad? You have stuff, right? You have stuff. But see, the psychology of it is stuff doesn't mean that you were going to think well of yourself, because the self needs esteem. And when the self doesn't have it, it seems like one of the narratives is that they become angry at what they think, which is society, which is true. They go after it. See killings. I talked about that, right, the last show. The last talk. Murder by proxy. That's one aspect. We war each other. We kill each other. We, you know, civilization is 10,000 year rape murder fest, right? Unprecedented. There's no. It's, you know, how has our species survived if this is human nature? Because it's not gonna, right? And so, but we're caught here. We're here. So it's that basic realization that we're here, fucked, caught in a concentration camp, that making the world better only makes it better for them. Or if you're lucky, you're part of them, right? The privileged classes that have so-called access. But yet, the richest country in the world is the most toxic place ever, as we see the outcome. But it doesn't do what it says it's going to do. Authors have written about it for a long time now. Eric Frome, I think, does a very good job, and to have or to be, to speak to this where, hey, the world of modernity, of a standardized existence where you have stuff given to you, but also the stuff you have to go and do to get it, which is food and water in our case, but you have a standard existence, a standardized human existence from dusk till dawn, how many hours, hour, week you work, the food that you get that's given to you by the dispensaries, et cetera, the modernity. And sociologists have been writing about it for, because modernity is maybe only maybe a few hundred years old. Again, stuck in this chronological time. But this is where, again, we're seeing an unprecedented destruction of our environment from the industrialized version of civilization, relentlessly raping and murdering everything, squeezing out every last bit that it can get to use. Good times. So when we're there, we are. When there's an awareness of that, we are likely to get stuck. And it's very hard for our psychology, because psychology is itself a lie. And so when you see that you're fucked, there's no future, there's no hope, you're just grinding it out day after day, right, in the concentration camp with layer upon layer upon layer of domination systems that keep you in chronological time, in identity politics, in stuck in self, saying, you know, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? And darn it, will people like me? Just again, caught in this kind of individualization, right? And then commodified, and it's painful, so painful. So then we turn. We're like, oh my God. You know, they turn to drugs, they turn to just escapism, they turn to the medias, they turn to, you know, to get caught up in the, you know, hope. We got to have hope. So I turn to my beloved book, which you all should read. I say it again and again and again. Blessed is the flame. It doesn't have the answers, but it's just so insightful. So what is nihilism? So you're negating. We're negating. We're negating all these lies. You're like, you just sense it. It's like, I'm not telling you what reality is. That's the game they want to get you in. So no, sorry. It's always an apology, I'm not apologizing for anything. You don't want to buy it? Don't. Go back and, you know, that's one thing. I don't judge anyone for how they survive here in this cesspool. I used to. I spent most of my life judging other people, not accepting them for who they are, because you can't. It's all this this brinkmanship of saying, well, this should be this way, should be this way, should be, I want, I don't want, I want, I don't want, I like, I don't like. The Facebook likes and dislikes of the fantasy that I have some say. As a teacher once said to me, my great teacher, choice is the product of a confused mind. So, let me read to you some pieces I've read, I'm sure, a million times. But this is always the question that has to be addressed. To what extent do I remain attached to this society that I despise? What does it mean to sever those attachments? What does it mean? And if you know you're effed, what does it matter? See, what do we live in is a type of fear. I've sensed that fear my entire life. I've experienced it. The fear that blocks me from acting. The fear that blocks me from non-judgment. The fear that blocks me from oblivion, which is freedom, to meaninglessness, to connectivity that isn't premised on something. I love you because, or you're good because, whatever your use is, how can I exploit you? Because maybe that's what it all is. No question. All relationships are employer. To relate to people is exactly that, based on what? Your values. Let me read to you what is being urged here. So let's say you're stuck. You're like, I've listened to your BS so long, dude, or whatever, all five of you. And I can't do it. What good is this? What good is this awareness? What good is it? First of all, that question is bogus, but that's that resistance that, I can't do it. I hear that all the time with people. Like, we're so stressed out, I can't do it. Okay, then don't, you know, go back to whatever. But if you do, this book serves us, but not as a means to an end, because it doesn't lead us anywhere. What they urge is us to abandon those chronological modes. It is in essence asking us to sever all ties to the continuation of society and work instead to negate its existence. To derail the train completely, they say. In this rupture of time, we find the richness of life, unimaginable within the existing order. Messianic time is the chronological awareness in which jouissance can flourish. For rather than deterring our rage to the future, deferring our rage to the future, we can finally realize that now is the time we've been waiting for. I say that to myself. I'm no better than anyone else. I'm waiting for the rebellion. I'm waiting. No, we resist. We resist any way we can. We fight any way we can. That's the insurrection. You be negative. I'm so negative, it's not even funny, but you have to do it in dosage or you'll be crucified, boys and girls, and you know it, right? So we all have to fight any way we can, right? That's what we do. We fight any way we can. So this is the beauty, right? Nihilism does not demand our allegiance because it is not a political ideology. I am more inclined to look at it as a tendency, in the true sense of the word, to embrace it as fluid presence in our lives that constantly asks us to negate our own ideologies, certainties, and optimistic attachments. I love that. That's the thing. Oh, do you just like that? I'm like, there's an insight there. There's a seeing that it's like unblocking energy, you put it, right? because you get caught in this constant problem solving. How can I make the world a better place so I can just live peacefully? Because I am peaceful when you're not. Right? When you shed all the lies, when you see that you're the monster, that everybody's the monster. Right? I talked about it in the last movie where it was about the new Batman movie where you see Batman is the monster. And then what does the monster do when he sees he's the monster? He goes into full deniability and then says the monster he's been tracking is insane, because that's what insanity is when the souls in power who have privilege, rich guy, thinking he's helping when actually he's just protecting his white privilege. Beautiful. Oh, my God. Right. So those ingredients are always built in. All of the ingredients to destroy power are built within. That idea that there's some kind of, you know, just power that is peaceful is the greatest lie. That's why that, like, oh, well, if we give you all this power, you promise to then, you know, give it back, right? And they're like, yeah, totally. I'm just going to use it to dispel the bad guys, and then I'll give it back, right? That simple as that, because I'm the good guy. You're a good guy. I'm a good guy. Lies. So that's why it's not about that continuous wheel of, you know, oh, let's have a revolution, and then we can be socialist, communist, you know, democracy, true democracy of, you know, one person, one vote. Never happened. Never. And even if it did, it'd still be the same tyranny of the majority, right, as we see. So it's that, okay, well, I'm gonna, you know, I'm going to have an uprising. I'm going to insurrect and do what, right? That's where you have to, you know, figure that out in that way. But it's, again, it's breaking those ties and that easy to think, well, I just got to do this, or I just got to give to Greenpeace, or I just got to join a paramilitary organization. Hey, more power to you. That insurrection, again, there's no pattern. There's no mapping it. This is just being put out into the universe, shall I say, which is just bullshit lip service. Absolutely. Credulous whisper. Something's not right here. And you don't just need to find caricatures and narratives, counter-narratives, new narratives. Put in the BS, pain, suffering, purposefully, imposing, domination. You see it. It's when someone wants to help you. I don't want to help you at all. Then let me help you. Don't you want to be happy? How many lights do you see? And you're waiting for them to tell me. Tell them. You're waiting for them to tell you how many there are, so then you can answer. Quote, for those in the loggers, the dissolution of cruel optimism was the most crucial step towards resistance. Immersed in a fog of misinformation, insidious lies, and unbearable truths, few inmates managed to come to terms with the severity of their situations. Even fewer were able to muster the will or had the privilege, the luck, the physical ability, etc., to act on those truths. Nihilism is the voice in the Warsaw ghettos, train situation whispering, these trains are bound for the extermination center. It is the voice on the road to freedom whispering, those aren't showers. It's the voice in the loggers definitively proclaiming, no one is going to save us. Some of the truths that nihilism asks us to confront are almost as severe and unbelievable as the truth about the camps, end quote. That's beautiful and true. But nobody wants to believe that. Nobody can believe that this is what's happening. So much so, I watched a documentary. I kind of walked into it. It was in a class I was TAing long ago. And it's this old dude talking about trying to tell. And, you know, if you don't know about the history, which I was still learning back then, was that the people that manned the gas chambers were Jews themselves, right? The Sonderkommandos, they were called, which is German, right? For, you know, these units that they put together under the Einsatzgruppen, which were like the German, like special forces that put together these things. Well, there was a lot of them, but under the SS, right? If you don't know, read about it. It's cool stuff. It's horrifying. So the people who are actually running the were Jews, right? And they're like, their job was to get people in the showers, to gas them, and then burn their bodies. Auschwitz, for example, you know, probably the most notorious. Dachau. Dachau was just a straight-up death camp. You just got there, went right to the shower, and we're done. So, but one guy who was kind of new to it was, like, trying to tell people these aren't showers. You should, you know, let them know what was happening to them, because they're just thinking they're getting a shower and they're going to go do some, you know, be in a work camp. Nobody would believe him, he said. Or the ones that did maybe would freak out and then run and be shot. But it was that whole point. We, you know, it's that. There's a famous quote by Upton Sinclair: never underestimate a man's willingness to not understand when their livelihood depends on that not understanding. And it's that's at the surface, right? And that's something that has always troubled me. We all have to make a living here, right? We all have to make a living. And every living we make is premised on a lie. And that, for me, long time ago, was a really hard pill to swallow. Troubled me for a long time. But it was then the real depth, right? Because that was my individualization. I got a minute and a half left. I want to read this to you that it really always gets me. It's the end of the book, the very last page. The topic of Nazis and ecological destruction is also one that I feel intrigued by. The Nazis, and particularly Himmler, had an obsession with rendering wild spaces into agricultural utopias, which meant that many camp inmates were put to work doing so-called landscape architecture. Auschwitz itself was a junction of two major rivers, a well-known floodplain, and required an enormous amount of destructive landscaping to make it hospitable for the camp. Philippe Meunier notes that much of this water came grossly contaminated by a black, evil-smelling ooze that seeped up from the mass burial sites during hot summer months. The Nazis' relationship to nature is particularly interesting news from the Hamburg Forest, where a small group of land defenders are working to protect Germany's last old-growth forest against the largest, most sinister earth-eating machines of the world. I've been recently informed that the whole villages around the mining site are being evicted under Nazi-era laws. Lastly, I'm very curious to know of the experience of anarchists in the camps. I know they were, and there are, haven't been any to find. If anyone knows the memoirs or books of references, I would greatly appreciate a heads up. That's not what I meant to read. I'm sorry. This is what I meant to read. Sorry, I got off track. It's been a very difficult day. For those that listen past this, listen now. Read the last page, or you could go to the last page and read it yourself. Though we have inherited a great many ideas of how to confront the domination, we know that nothing is set in stone. From the shattered tools and the bones of our predecessors, we craft our own weapons. Nothing is guaranteed to work. We attack regardless. We do so naked, having shed the rags of morality, ideology, and the politics that had accumulated over time. We confront this world raw in all its horrifying glory. We negate every truth and rule with it, and proceed with a spirit of incendiary experimentation. We dream big, expect little, celebrate every moment of rupture. We take every opportunity to ensure that those in power lose sleep and that their functionaries have miserable jobs. We set our lives to ripping up the geraniums that line the extermination camp paths, pissing in the gears of society, machinery. And when all else fails, we will follow in the footsteps of those who spent their final minutes in the gas chambers singing and fucking. May jouissance be the blessed flame that guides us into the void. That's it. That's what can save us. But not at all. That's the insight to the horror, to the suffering.